Judgment. But
don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
Anthony, give me a boy's name that starts with the letter H.
Jose.
Bobby, it's me, your daddy, Roberto.
Daddy.
Occasionally, you may hear it pronounced as Joao. It depends.
Look at me now. How far we go back? Elementary, jump rope, hide and go see, pity pat, red light, green light, red light, green light.
Hello, you play to win the game.
Wednesday night, just past 9 p.m., same old thing, you already know what it is. I am Jose V. You are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. The we I'm referring to is myself, EMB, Quan 5'9 behind the big board. And we got a special guest in the studio joining us. He'll be here in the second part of the studio tonight, talking some soccer with us. Joel B. and Jay Madrazo's in the studio. But same old faces, same old thing, Wednesday night, same time. Same thing we do every single Wednesday night, my man. Ian, appreciate you being in studio, my man. How's your week been so far? How was your new year before we get everything going here?
It was crazy. Strip was crazy, but it's been a good week for me.
You worked, right?
I did work, yep.
Gotcha, crazy.
Guarding the Dolphins at Mirage.
I wouldn't be able to do that, man. I wouldn't be able to work on New Year's Eve like that on the Strip the way you were doing it. That's crazy. But we got a good show on tap for you guys tonight, man. We have a return guest joining us. She's not in studio. She's on the road tonight because they do have a basketball game tomorrow night. She is none other than Lindy LaRock, UNLV Lady Rebels, running Rebels, Lady Rebels, however you want to call them, head basketball coach. She is joining us all the way from Colorado, I believe, because they're playing Air Force. Yeah. They do play Air Force tomorrow night, but we're going to have her on the show here shortly. Ian, you weren't here last time we had her on. So she's, like I said, she's a return guest. Yep. I love having her on the show. I've seen her on other shows as well. She knows her basketball. I think she's great for UNLV. I think she's great for the city in general. But the women's program overall as well. It's funny. I'm sorry. I got my son's 5 years old and I'm getting text messages from right now. I can't believe this little boy. But anyways, let's just go ahead and get her on the show right now real quick. Let's get it started because I know it's late and I know they have to get ready for tomorrow night. But she is none other than Lady Rebels UNLV out here. Lindy LaRock, head basketball coach, joining us. Lindy, how you doing tonight out there? I know it's late. I appreciate you joining us and coming back on
the show.
Thank you. How's everything? How's your new year going, first of all?
Yeah, well, good evening. Thanks for having me back. I'd love to be a repeat guest for you guys. So it is an hour later here, but, you know, I'm still on Vegas time, so you've got me for a bit. But it's been a great new year so far. We need to get a big win tomorrow for our team so we can go back home and feel good.
So, Lindy, it's year two for you now here in Vegas. Obviously, everyone knows a lot about you before you even came out here, before you ever took the job. They know everything that you've accomplished before coming out here. But year one to year two, what has been the biggest change for you overall? Obviously, COVID is still here. It's a bit different compared to the way it was last year. But how has everything been for you, coaching style, you know, just in general with last season to this season?
Oh, well, you know, they always say kind of when you take a new job, there's a little bit of a honeymoon phase, you know, and so maybe that was last year. I think this year is a totally different team. Each year presents just so much different, unique, you know, challenges, obstacles, people. You know, so first and foremost, we have a totally different roster. So we have 9 new faces from last year. So it's been, you know, just a process to get everyone acclimated to, you know, our standards, our expectations. And, you know, what we did last year, while it was great, it really doesn't matter for this year. A, because we only have 3 people that were a part of it. You know, so there's not much carryover other than, you know, really leaning on those 3 to help kind of carry the torch of culture and standard and expectations. So, you know, those have kind of been our early challenges, but really excited about the team that we have. We have a lot of talent and, you know, we're just getting better each and every day, which as a coach, that's all I can ask for.
Now, Lindy, when you were hired, you're the 2nd youngest female coach for college basketball at the time. Do you find being younger helps you relate more to the players and gain your messages across?
I think it gives me a unique perspective for sure. You know, just, you know, under 10 years ago, I was in their same seat, you know, so I think, you know, individually as a coach, I lean on that experience and try to put myself in their shoes. And it's not so long ago to where I can still feel some of the same feelings. So I think that helps me a little bit. You know, with all the different COVID challenges, maybe it was good to be young and new and never done it before because I didn't have any routines or old ways of doing things that I had to change, you know, so I think maybe that was a benefit as well. You know, so I'm young and eager and vibrant and, you know, I'm riding that wave until I get old, I guess.
Now, so you mentioned the roster, so I do want to talk about that. But before we do that, what would you say is the biggest takeaway you took from last year? You were a rookie coach. You're not a rookie coach now. You're a 2nd year coach. What is the biggest takeaway you would say was from last year that you're taking moving into this season?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, maybe COVID put that on us is just to really be grateful and appreciative of every day that we have together and to not lose sight of being in the moment. You know, sometimes you can be looking ahead to the next game or future recruiting or, you know, you're always forecasting for the future. But maybe what last year taught us was to, you know, really appreciate each practice because we didn't know if we were going to have another one. And now we're kind of a little bit in that same boat where, you know, the COVID, the spread is, you know, kind of all over again. We're kind of having to get back in that same mindset of, well, let's be, you know, our game tomorrow, it's not guaranteed. You know, someone can wake up tomorrow and have symptoms or, you know, something can happen. So just being really grateful and appreciative of every day and for where we're at and who we have by our side to go through the experience with.
Now, Lindy, you are coming off of a heartbreaking loss. They scored a 3-pointer with 5.4 seconds left, buzzer beater almost. And how do you go back to the locker room and get them prepared for a must win on the road?
Well, thank you for reminding me.
Thanks, Ian.
But, you know, New Mexico at their place, the Pit, it's a historic arena, just known for kind of a raucous crowd, a tough place to play. And throughout the whole game, I was just really proud of our team's response. You know, in a lot of ways, we controlled the majority of the game, but knew that they were going to, you know, throw some punches and come with their own, you know, storm, so to say. And then, you know, it's just sometimes the game just comes down to making some plays. And, you know, I've watched that last second shot, you know, I kid you not, you know, 20, 30 times over. And I couldn't have asked for anything better from our defense. you know, and that's where, as a coach, you know, obviously there's hindsight, but I don't know if I would have done anything different. We switched the ball screen. Our post player got out and guarded a guard. She hit like a step back three with someone right in her face. You know, and so those are some that you just maybe you take on the chin. And I went back to the locker room, and it's not really about, you know, even the last play, but, you know, more than anything, I was just really proud. We're still really early in our conference season. And so, of course, we would have loved to win that game. But again, just trying to keep some perspective of that. We did some really good things in that game. So just trying to carry those forward and continue to sharpen up a little things, because if we're playing our best basketball right now, then we're not going to be a very good team at the end of February or March when we really want to be. So, you know, it hurts to maybe take some lumps that really, you know, kind of hit you in the gut. But, you know, I know our team's going to respond, especially with our game tomorrow again on the road, another tough battle. So I'm confident in our team. We've prepared them well. And they have a little chip on their shoulder that they want to go out there and kind of, you know, right some wrongs from the last game too.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are joined by UNLV Lady Rebels head basketball coach Lindy LaRocque. She's joining us on assignments because they do have a game tomorrow against Air Force. We greatly appreciate her joining the show with us. Second time around here. Last year she was on, so bring in the new year. Why not bring in the head coach? Now, Lindy, before we get into the rest of the roster and how it changes from you coming in here as a first-year coach and taking what's here compared to now recruiting a bit more, Do you miss Mark at all by any chance? You miss Mark Wasik a bit? I had to throw that out there because Mark was usually the guy that I would deal with, and he was amazing when it was to everything that had to do with you guys. So big shout out to Mark. But do you miss Mark a bit?
Mark was a staple of the program. I mean, I think he had worked with women's basketball for almost 20 years, and you know, so I relied on him for a lot of just historical data and statistics, and just a great family guy, a huge women's basketball fan. So, you know, he was great for us last year. And, you know, now he's kind of made some changes and moved across country for his family. So you can't get mad at anyone for taking care of their family. So we wish him well. I stay in contact with him. He's still a huge supporter of our program.
Now, going to the roster. As a first-year coach, I'm pretty sure you don't get to recruit the way you would want to because you're coming into a program that already has players that are there, whether it's seniors, sophomores, whatever it may be, that were already there when you took over the program. Having this year, this time off, after this offseason, to be able to recruit your way and go after players that you want, and like you said, you only have, I believe, 3 returning players from last year, how is it different? Are you more comfortable now as a coach knowing you have I call them ladies, I don't want to call them girls, the ladies that you want on this team now?
Well, I agree with you. They are ladies, young women, so I try to avoid the girls reference as well. But we have 5 freshmen, 3 transfers, and then we had 1 player that sat out for the COVID year last year that we brought back on the team. So really 9 new faces of our 12, 3 returners. You know, I think how it's affected me, our staff, our program, is that, you know, obviously the majority of our team has picked us. They picked me. They picked to choose to play for me and UNLV. And so it really, I think, creates a little bit different of an investment, a commitment level. Our team last year, I mean, great young women, just really incredible character, you know, young people. But ultimately, they didn't choose me. And they chose a different program. And so, you know, now kind of with some roster changes this year, you know, that's where it's been a little bit hard, is we've had to, for year 2, you'd like to think that you can really build off of year 1 and maybe start 3 steps ahead because it's year 2. And in fact, we've kind of actually had to scale back and really start from the very beginning, you know, with the first step, because we have so many young, you know, young women that haven't ever played for me, haven't ever, you know, been around me. So at the beginning, you know, we kind of want to hit the ground running, but we kind of had to pump the brakes real quick and be like, okay, well, they're all very talented players, but we still have to start from, you know, ground zero and continue to build up. So that's been a great and fun process for our staff. Again, we just have such incredible young women. They're great in the classroom, which just helps alleviate a lot of, you know, other things outside of the basketball court. They're great young people. They have great support systems and families. So, you know, it's been a different challenge for sure, but one that I think, you know, now, you know, looking ahead maybe to year three, where we can build off of this year, next year, because it'll be a lot of the same players that have chose me, us, this program.
So, Lindy, final thought on UNLV basketball. You just mentioned, so you kind of took the thought out of my mind. You said these young women chose you, so it's a bit different. So leading to that, being a head coach, not only is it obviously doing what you're doing on the court, in the gym, in the weight room, whatever it is that you guys are doing in the classroom, it's also in the community. Do you feel now, or have you already felt it from the beginning, that this community chose you and accepted you, and now they see you as the coach, not just another coach coming in here to see what's going to happen with this program? Do you feel that they now respect you from what you did from year one and what you're doing now in year two, or do you think it's not all the way there yet?
I mean, I think it's a constant work in process, but, you know, absolutely, I feel the love and support from this community. Obviously, it's a place that I was born and raised. I'm a product of this community, so it's been great to, you know, be able to connect with so many people. We had an alumni game, our first home game of the year, and had 25 alumni come back in the very first year of ever kind of having an alumni game, which I intend to do annually. So not just the support from the former Lady Rebels, but also the outward community, other donors, you know, other just alumni, just, you know, that are in hospitality or that are in the workforce. You know, it's been great. We've tried to get, we have four players that are from the Las Vegas Valley. So I think that really helps in getting their families and their communities involved. We try to really do a good amount of community service. We missed on that last year just with all the different COVID protocols. So getting out into the elementary schools and playing at recess with them and reading books. And, you know, I still plan on doing, you know, off season, some different clinics and things around town. So, you know, for me, the Las Vegas community is a huge piece and reason why I took this job, and I have felt nothing but the love and support in return, which, you know, when things can be really high pressure and really intense, it just makes you feel really grateful to be in this position, and such a privilege to really represent my community, you know, the Las Vegas that I love, and it is a huge part of my life too.
Lindy Narock, UNLV Lady Rebels head coach, joining us here on Straight Bet Sports. So we're about to get into some conversations here away from UNLV Lady Basketball. So before we let you go, we thought we'd add you to this conversation because it was huge news that happened here in Las Vegas. And I already had people that hit me up before the show that said they wanted to see what you had to say about this. So it was perfect timing. Obviously, it's been all over the news for over a week. I mean, it's been talked about all over the place. Becky Hammon is coming to Las Vegas. She will be here with the Las Vegas Aces. You being a female coach here in Las Vegas and now seeing what Becky has done in her career, right? Being undrafted into the WNBA, knowing that she played in San Antonio, which was the Aces prior. Now they're here. And seeing what Mark Davis is doing, what are your thoughts on the hiring and how excited are you about it? Because I'm pretty sure you are.
I'm over the moon excited. It's just a tremendous hire. Obviously, just a brilliant coach, first and foremost, men, women, whatever. And then, you know, a women's basketball legend. I mean, and to be right here in our backyard, what Mark Davis has done with the Aces organization. I mean, they're taking the world by storm. They're taking the WNBA by storm, you know, obviously with hiring Becky as the head coach, but Jennifer Azey, you know, he's making multiple hires within the organization basically to stay, you know, like, we're here to play, and frankly, we're here to win championships, and we're going to show you the blueprint of how to do it. So, you know, I'm thrilled. You know, we've had a great partnership with the Aces, and it's continued since Mark Davis has taken them over. You know, Nikki Fargus, I've had lunch and coffee with her. She's been just phenomenal, you know, and talking about the community, they understand, you know, that we are a part of that community and they want to keep us involved. So, you know, I think obviously the Aces are just scratching the surface of their potential and their capability to win championships and make it a championship program, but also their impact on the community. And so, you know, I'm excited to maybe, you know, benefit from some of that. I'm excited to have such great basketball minds within reach, within driving distance to, you know, watch practices and share ideas, and just really, you know, create a great community together.
So last thing I'm going to ask you, and then I promise you I will let you go, and it's basically adding to that. Will this, do you believe or do you know, that will this help your recruiting at all seeing this type of hire here, knowing that there's a professional team and we have the college team?
Well, the Aces in general have helped our recruiting tremendously. You know, young women aspire to play and be professionals just as the same as young men and young boys and young girls. And so just having them here, it creates exposure that, you know, only, what, 11 other cities across the country have. And so them being here in general has, from the get-go, we have used that. We have sold that hard. We have created, you know, that a part of our recruiting. You know, if that's where you want to play, they're at our games. Asia Wilson was at our games.
Oh yeah.
Their ownership, their scouts, their assistant coaches are at our games in our backyard. And then obviously, you know, we love great attention to Las Vegas, and Becky Hammon brought that. So, you know, again, just continuing to build on that partnership and really be in sync with each other. We're just beginning.
Lindy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Again, I know it's late, but I appreciate it. You kept your promise. You came back on the show. I appreciate you so much. Next time we're going to get you in the studio. So we'll try to do it on an off week when you can actually relax and come in and I have to worry about getting prepped for an opponent. But best of luck tomorrow night and continued luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully we see you guys win a chip this year. And if not, I know it's coming soon. I have faith in you and I'm glad that you're here. Have a great night. Good luck to you ladies tomorrow night. And again, continued luck for the rest of the season, Lindy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jose. I really appreciate all your support and having me back on. So it's just, you know, really meaningful the way you cover women and women's sports. So I'm just really grateful for this opportunity and excited to see you in the gym soon.
Yes, definitely. I'll go to a game this year. I promise. I went to a couple last year and I got to do it again. Thanks again, Lindy. Appreciate you.
I'll hold you to it.
I'll be there. Lindy. You know I will. Have a great night.
Thank you. Have a great night. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Appreciate you. Lindy LaRock, UNLV Lady Rebels head coach. That was pretty cool, man. When I used to go to the games, she was always real cool. If she saw you there, she'd come up and greet you. When it comes to the media stuff and we're doing them through Zoom, I was always on there because not too many people would jump on. You know what I mean? So yeah. I always had time. Luckily, when the games were over, when they were doing them, so I would always jump on there. So she got to recognize me. That's why she knows me. So it's cool when you have time to do things like that because then people remember you. So when you're actually talking to someone like that, it's not just like, all right, we're doing this interview again. You know what I mean? Like, she knows what's up. She knows what we're going to talk about. We don't have to talk about her previous stuff. You know what I mean? So that's cool. But we got the homie Joel in the studio tonight. Jay Madrazo. We try to play a prank on Ian in the car, but it didn't really work, man. But look, before we get into the second half of the show and talk about all this other crazy stuff that's going on in the world of sports, we obviously got to let you guys know who our sponsor is. The same guy that's been bringing this to you guys every single week, as you see the banner down there. We'll go ahead and put up the slide here shortly for you guys. We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask, to help ensure making their home ownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533. That's right, Joshua LaFon, Simply Vegas Real Estate, hooking us up here on Straight Bet Sports Grill Across Radio. We also got Eric Navarro, which we're going to talk about that in a little while, not right now, but Eric's got a new system. It's called Booksy. So if you don't like it, you got to figure out. It's a new app that they do now. I guess barbers are using it to basically set up appointments and all that. But we'll talk about that here shortly. But a lot of crazy stuff going on right now, bro.
It's a crazy week just around in sports.
So here's the thing. Who do you want to start with? What topic do you want to start with? Because we got AB, which there's a lot to talk about there.
I think let's start with Ben.
You want to talk Ben? Okay.
Yeah, let's start with Ben.
So, you talk Ben. I'm gonna go grab.
All right, sounds good.
You got it. Go.
So Ben just had his last what is believed even by him as his last home game at Heinz Field, and the whole talk was, he's had this great career. It's been magical. I really don't think so. Like, I like him. I
so
think,
you know, the refs gave him one Super Bowl, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the Super Bowl against the Seahawks?
I mean,
the refs literally came out a year later and said, we screwed up that call, where they reviewed it and he dove for the end zone and never got through.
And not only that, they brought... I'll always kind of hold it against them a little bit because they robbed Larry Fitzgerald for that. Like,
that was the one, right?
Like, Larry Fitzgerald played his heart out. He should have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that was a Santonio Holmes toe touch, yeah. Which to this day I don't think was a catch because both of his feet weren't down. The other foot was on top of the other. If you count that 2 feet, okay, I'm okay with that. I don't know the full rule book. But 2 feet, we're not touching that ground.
True. Very true. So the discussion this week, a lot of the discussion, was out of the 2004 quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the one that had either the best career or who was your top?
So,
and that's Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Big Ben. Those were the major three.
Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger.
Now,
okay, great.
I'll agree. In terms of talent wise, Big Ben trumped all of them, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm not going to say talent wise.
Talent wise.
So you think Ben Roethlisberger, talent wise, was better?
Better than Eli? Absolutely.
Eli, yes. But
better than Phillip.
I don't know
as
about
well.
Phillip Rivers. I don't think he was.
Phillip was more consistent. If you want to say he is more consistent throughout his career, that's true.
The thing about Ben, he was tougher. What I mean by that, he was a big guy. He took a lot of hits too, bro. Remember that?
He did. And then he had his motorcycle accident and a lot of stuff changed. And then I've been very hard on Ben for the last 3 years. Mostly.
Have you now?
Mostly.
I've been hard on him his whole career.
Well,
bro.
Yeah. But especially the last few years. His downfield passing is absolutely abysmal.
Well, you got to understand, as you get older, bro, the arm's not the same.
Well, not only that, he did have Tommy John surgery, 2 years ago?
Correct.
And quarterbacks don't necessarily really come back from Tommy John. It's not like pitching where they can kind of pitch count you. You sit out a couple games.
Well, they don't throw the ball as hard in football.
They don't. They don't. And they don't do it as many times. However, they're also not chucking it, you know, about a pound ball, you know, 90 yards in the air. I'm not saying that he did. He can never throw it 90
yards. I'm not laughing at that. We're gonna keep talking. We're gonna keep talking that real quick. But it's just my Jets buddy Frank Greco chimes in on Facebook. He goes, "How bad are the Jets? Let's start there." Like, that's what he wanted to start the conversation with. We'll talk about that shortly.
They're pretty bad.
Because they should have won that game against Tampa.
They're pretty bad.
We'll tease about that shortly. But look, I always called Big Ben Worthlisberger, right? I used to always make fun of that. That was always
my
nickname.
That's good. I haven't heard that before, but that's good. I like that.
Because, like I said, that Super Bowl against Seattle, it was given to them. The refs came out and they said that they screwed up. And if you saw that replay over and over again, I have it in my head till this day. He never crossed the line.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, Seattle didn't do much to win that game either.
No,
I get that.
But they also should have lost against
his career,
Arizona as well.
If we're being serious, take away the not liking a guy.
Yep.
If we're being an actual football person, right, and we look at what he did in his career, the guy's a Hall of Famer.
Oh,
probably
absolutely.
First ballot, 100%.
Absolutely.
Because of what he did in his career.
He definitely,
overall.
In my opinion, everyone's saying
he never
that
had a losing
Eli,
season.
They're saying
I don't
Eli,
think he had a losing season,
well,
right?
That's more
I'm sorry. That was Tomlin.
That's Tomlin.
You're right.
Yeah. Eli... Everyone's talking about he's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should be. I really don't think he should be.
I think he'll make it, but I don't think he's a shoo-in.
I think he'll make it. I don't think he should be. Big Ben is a shoo-in. Because of his career, regular season and postseason, he is a far more accomplished quarterback.
Correct. Eli Manning wasn't a great regular season
quarterback. Now, going back to what we were saying, with Phillip Rivers, I respect that you think that he had more talent. I don't necessarily think that he had more talent. He was more consistent. However, the Chargers, we never really saw the same organizational stability, right? Steelers have always had a great coach, and they've had always a great organization around him. Phillip Rivers didn't really have that in San Diego.
I'll tell you this about Phillip Rivers, though, bro. I was never a fellow Rivers fan because he always did this and he never really won anything, right? He was always that big heart guy. I'm a run dive. If you ever saw that video against the Jaguars, when he's talking to the ref like, "Come on, man, He's all upset about it.
Yeah.
But bro, the day that I gained respect for this guy was when he had I don't know if ACL, MCL, whatever it was,
yes,
in both knees and still played in that game in the playoffs, yeah, bro. For him to go out there and say, if my career ends after tonight, but my team wins this and gets to go to the Super Bowl, whatever it is, that's all I care about. Bro, I gained all the respect in the world for the guy. And honestly, I think he is more talented than Ben Roethlisberger. If we're talking about just at a quarterback position, the way he played it, I think Roethlisberger was just a bigger body, took bigger hits, knew how to just throw the ball up there and had those type of receivers, that could run those routes.
Big Ben in the prime of his career, he had a cannon. I mean, he could chuck that thing down.
And that's what I'm saying. They always drafted guys that can run down the field. Remember when they had Mike Wallace at one point? Wallace led the league in receptions per yards, or yards per reception
other
for like 3 years
Antonio
or something.
Brown, they never really had true, like, really good route runners.
They always had streakers. They had that. They had, and the thing about Ben is, you said it, he had that arm early in his career. Yeah. He could chuck it up there. It's kind of like the whole Joey Burrow thing with Jamar Chase right now. I'm going to chuck it up there and just Jamar's going to be somewhere.
Down there somewhere.
He's somewhere. He's going to catch it.
Yeah.
And that's how it was with Ben early in his career.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is he had that arm strength to do it. And the fact that he took so many hits and was still able to do it that way, that's why I say yes, 100%, the way he played overall, his regular seasons and his postseasons, I give it to him.
Yep.
First ballot Hall of Famer. Eli Manning will get to the Hall of Fame, not first ballot, but it is what it is. Same thing with Phillip Rivers. I don't think Phillip Rivers is first ballot.
Yeah, I don't think he's first ballot.
But
I think he's
it.
Second or third ballot, but definitely. He'll but he'll probably end up being in there just because of the course of his career, what he did accomplish in terms of stats. This is a stat league. It's going to happen. I think you need a little bit. You should need a little bit more for a Hall of Fame, but we'll get on with that.
You staying awake, bro? You good?
Hey, I'm in.
I like that sweater, bro. I like. Where'd you get that sweater at?
I ordered it right after when they won it. Had it.
Pull your mic up. Listen to Quan, bro.
Hey.
See, that's what happens when
coach,
you don't come to the show.
You see that?
And we've been telling you to come to the show for like the last how many months?
You've had me on the sideline, man. You had me on the bench, bro.
I had you on the sideline, bro. You're the one that's been working.
I'm back. Hey, we got
to
start the year
back.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's
appreciate
good to have
you.
Appreciate you
back.
Now, Ian, before we continue on some more topics, I'm going to switch it up real quick. We haven't talked soccer in a while.
Okay.
You can chime in on this, too, because I know you probably have some thoughts on it as well. We've had Brett Lashbrook on the show, I think, three, four times, give or take. We've had lights players on the show. I still communicate to a lot. I actually spoke to Tommy. I spoke to Tommy the other day. Tommy was back in town. We're going to try to hit Tommy Olsen. We're going to try to have him back on the show. But before I got here today, I was sitting on Twitter, and I'm sitting there going through LAFC Central. And then I'm looking at what the electric company is tweeting out, right? And all the stuff that's coming out about Cherundolo, the guy that was here coaching the lights last year, right? So if you guys all know, last year was basically the project. Let's sign up with the big MLS club and let's have our team basically help these guys develop and is what it is right now. They were never supposed to be considered a developmental team. We weren't supposed to be the secondary team to LAFC in that former fashion where we were just going to develop players and then not care what type of talent we put on the field. That's not what Brett ever said. There was a partnership. It was about bringing better talent to the field, about bringing a better product to the fans, right? That better product was never brought. I'm if you want me to be honest, I don't know if I could say it because I'm upset. Let me use that word because I don't know if I could say the other word, but I'm upset because this guy just got hired on as the head coach of LAFC, right? If you ever went to any games last year, if you had the opportunity to, and if you did media, which you did, Joel, so you were there. So you were my eyes and ears when I wasn't there.
The whole season?
When Eric Winalda was there, I'm going to give credit to Eric Winalda. I still talk to Eric. I spoke to him last week. When he was there, win, lose, or draw, he walked up to the fans, still did the interviews. Harry Ruiz was there on the field with him, chopping it up, talking, the news people, everything. No matter what, on the way to the tunnel, would stop, take pictures, sign autographs, whatever it was, he did it. Steve Cherundolo didn't do it once. And in the first game of the season, when I saw that and I was there at the home game and I was going towards him to try to talk to the guy and he just bolts off the field, I had a bad feeling about the season right then and there. It ended up being correct. The whole season was just players being moved, shifted, this, that. No great talent or product on the field. And what he said today
and you can look it up. It's not the exact quote, but he said, "We feel that this was a successful season for us because we developed a lot of players. And for that, for us, that's successful." Joel, which players did they develop? Aside from Daniel Cristosimo, which did sign a contract and is on the active roster now. Who else? Can you tell me who else that they developed?
Not many. I saw a lot of rotating players that came in and out from, you know, that were playing sometimes with us, not with us, some couple of games. You know, it was not a... What's frustrating about it is that it wasn't a consistent lineup. It wasn't a consistent, like, rotation of players either, right? And, yeah, they did sign him, but that was it. You know, we didn't see a lot of positive results.
So, basically, that's what I'm saying, bro. You already have fans that are upset because all you care about is a show. When this all started, it was about creating a show, the excitement, all that. I get that. I totally understand that, right? But then you hired a guy in Eric Winaldo, which was a legend. It started to turn around a bit, Joel. I think you probably agree with me on that. And again, I'm not trying to throw this out there on the organization and say you should have kept Eric. No. I'm just talking about how you guys had talent and you guys had some motivation, and it looked like you were going to create something, and then it just went away. And it seems like all Brett cares about now is the business aspect of it. And again, I get it, guys. I totally understand. Don't throw the narrative at me that at the end of the day, sports is a business. I get that. Sports has and always will be a business at the end of the day. But when you're just using Las Vegas as a pawn for what you want, you're not going to create what you created in Orlando. I know I sound like a broken record. This is not Orlando SC. You're not going to do what you did out there. It's already failing. Look at the social media threads. Go on Facebook. Go on Twitter. Don't take my word for it. The fans are upset. The fans are mad, and the fans want answers. Joel, do you agree or disagree with me?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the project, well, you know, this whole, like, meshing together with LAFC was to be for better results, right? And we haven't made the playoffs.
They haven't done anything. And last year was supposed to be the first year with this project, and it never looked like it worked, bro. Did you ever watch any of the games, Ian, or did you ever follow
it?
I did
not. Keep up with it? No.
No, I did not.
So look, it's a great atmosphere to go to, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. The tickets are cheap. It's Cashman Field. If you like old school, if you like downtown, I get it. It's grungy. It's messed up around it. But the stadium in general, right? It's not a bad atmosphere, bro, but the crowd atmosphere has died down.
A lot of people go, you know, it's...
Bro, people show up early and barbecue, bro, and hang out and drink with their families. If you're a drinker and you do all that, I get that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that you can do and hang out, but it's died down so much, bro. It's not what it used to be. I get it. COVID came and hit, and a lot changed there when Eric went and the new head coaching, and you only had a guy here for a year and all that, but I think it's time to do something, man. And if I'm saying it, I'm just throwing it out there. Brett, let's figure this out, man. If you honestly feel and you say that you care about the fans and it's about putting a winning product on the field, let's see it this year. No more projects, no more experiments with MLS teams. Let's bring a real coach here. Let's bring a real product and let's get it going. If we don't get the MLS team here, so be it. The USL is still there. It's still a professional soccer league. Let's continue to build what we have here. That's all I'm saying.
And get a player like Drogba. Remember when Drogba was in Phoenix? Like, he was playing the USL. A lot of players are willing to, you know, exactly. And we're Las Vegas.
Doesn't matter if these guys are old. They're legends. They're names. Like, bring them.
Yeah. I say we bring, you know, players. Time to bring a couple good name players. You know, results.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I'm your host, Jose V, EMB, Jay Madrazos, Quan 5'9", up in the building, hanging out, doing what we do every single Wednesday night. If you guys haven't already done so, press that like button, press that share, drop a comment in the feed. 702-608-3259 is the number to call if you want to give us a call. Before we move on to the next topic, if we could please throw up the graphic up there for Eric Navarro. So like I said, Eric Navarro, line him up by Eric. He is our other personal barber, our sponsor here. 702-884-8138 is his number. His IG is line him up by Eric, as you see on the screen there now. If you hit him up, just to let you know, he is going to make you download the Booksy app. If you haven't already done it, do it now. Booksy. We are not supporting them. I'm just saying that's the app that he uses. So if you want to book appointments, a lot of the barbers are doing that nowadays. That's what he set up. So big shout out to my guy, Eric Navarro from line him up by Eric. 702-884-8138 and on IG at line him up by Eric. But yeah, man, what else do we jump into here? Like what else can we talk
let's
about?
First address what they asked us to
oh no
about
no no
Jets.
That's what it was. Hold on. what I had to mention it, and I gotta say it. So big shout out to the homie Sosa, Spin Dot, and what's the other guy? Rex. These are the guys.
Andy is Sports.
And Andy is Sports. If you guys are sports handicappers, you already know, obviously, the name of the show is Straight Bet Sports. We're not professional sports handicappers. The name came from basically me being a casual bettor that likes to bet and talk sports betting and talk sports in general. That's where the name came from. But along the way, I've met people. I've met professional gamblers. I've met people that do that for a living, that have things. And if you guys haven't checked it out, check out my Twitter feed, all right? I've been tweeting it out all day for the last couple days. The Wise Guys Diamond Club. Trust me, I'm not going to talk pricing. I'm not going to talk numbers. I'm not going to throw any of that out there. Today, I've showed these guys my bets already. The only bet that I've lost, it just happened right now, and that was a bet that I took that had nothing to do with the Diamond Club. Everything else hit today. Granted, you're not always going to hit. You're not always going to win money. There's going to be times where you might lose. But these guys are changing the game. They're talking about everything. These guys had a tennis match at 2 in the morning. And I fell asleep on it. Plus 120. The guy was plus 300 in game. Wins the match. Shout out to Andy Sports. He's the one that threw that out there. So
they
again,
also teach you how to manage exactly your bankroll. How to
do everything.
Properly bet without actually gambling per se. It of course is gambling for everyone watching.
Correct. But gamble responsibly. Obviously, you know that.
They teach you how to gamble responsibly and how to manage the way that you gamble.
But remember, go on Twitter, check out my Twitter. You already know the handle, @Jose_Volonte. I've been tweeting it out all day. Check them out, the Wise Guys Diamond Club. They're also on Twitter. Check out everything they got going on. If you don't believe me, trust me, the numbers speak for themselves. I've been on it for the last 2 days. I've been seeing everything that they've been throwing out there. It is insane. These guys bet everything. Hockey, tennis, basketball, football, NASCAR, I mean, anything you can think of sports related, they bet it. And not only that, Ian, it's not about betting sides and totals and teams
they
anymore.
They pick the smart bets.
These guys have props. These guys are giving you so-and-so is going to score 8 assists today or 8 assists total rebounds, this and that. Crazy stuff. Yeah. So trust me, take my word for it. Check them out. You will not be disappointed. Big shout out to the homie Sosa and everybody over there at the Wise Guys Diamond Club. But moving on, let's jump into that real quick because I know my guy wanted to talk about that. Frank, we're going to jump into that real quick. The Jets are just an absolute dumpster fire right now, and they have been for a while. I feel bad for Robert Saleh because I like Saleh. I really do.
I do too.
But for you to be up and be playing as good as you were
24-10.
Against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. I'll be honest with you. I took Tampa Bay plus 300 in game to come back and win because I'm like, there's no way the Jets are going to. And you're going to give me Tom Brady at plus 300. Why wouldn't I do it? Anyways, I already gave you my thoughts. The Jets are a dumpster fire. They need to clean house roster-wise, I think, and they need to figure this team out. I think Robert Saleh needs to bring in the guys that he wants. Not only that, you got to figure out the defensive side of the ball, my man. You're a defensive coach.
Yeah.
You need to figure this out.
So I like Saleh, but I will not excuse him for the lack of defensive scheme that he's put together this year. He does have guys. That team has actually drafted. Joe Douglas has put together a pretty good team talent-wise. They haven't hit, they haven't produced the way that you would want these guys to produce, but you have the talent there. So for him to be up, like you said, 24-10 in the third quarter with Antonio Brown almost retiring at halftime, you have to wonder how do you not keep a 14-point lead? That just it's inexcusable.
Jets, bro.
I know, but you're this defensive mind. You got hired because you were this defensive mind. You got, when you're up like that, you have to hold on to that. If you're a defensive coach, you have to figure out a way. Like you said, you do have talent. It might not be exactly the talent you want, but I don't necessarily they need a clear house.
And you know what sucks? And this is as a Jets fan, and I guarantee that you don't say the same because you probably try to watch as much Eagles games as possible as you can.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I can say that I actually said I'm going to sit down and watch a Jets game. Bro, ever since I got NFL Red Zone, that's all I watch. Ever since I got Sundays off, I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
The Jets are not doing anything enough for me to say I have to sit and watch this game. You know what I mean? And it sucks when it gets to that as a fan.
They need
bro.
A true running back. I think that would help Wilson dramatically. I think if they can shore up that offensive line a little bit more and actually get him a true number one wide receiver.
Well, they have Elijah Moore, right? Is it the dude from Ole Miss?
They have
right?
Elijah Moore, and I like Moore, but they need a little bit more.
They need a tight end, bro. That's what they really need.
Well, yeah, think tight end.
A lot of great quarterbacks strive with a solid, reliable tight end. Absolutely. Jason Witten made Tony Romo look like a god for so many years. Think about that. You look at Zach Ertz when he was in Philly for a while.
Perfect example.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to look at tight ends help quarterbacks.
Especially young quarterbacks. Yes. It's their safety blanket. The thing is...
Kick the field goal, says Frank.
By the way, they still have Denzel Mims. I love Denzel Mims. I think he is a stud. I think he's had injury concerns that have kept him off the field. But if you can start getting these players healthy, maybe draft, you have two first round picks, right? Maybe draft a wide receiver with one and a toted like Evan Neal from Alabama. He's a left tackle that's just great. Get him. I know they have Becton, but maybe move one of them to the right side.
I'm gonna cut you off. They have two first rounds. What they need to do, they need to find a way to get to the number one pick and take the kid out of Michigan. Robert Saleh, you are a defensive coach. Okay. Find a way to get Hutchinson. I have never been one to say, let's go after a guy that high when it comes to defense. I like offensive guys. I've always been an offensive guy.
You do realize but both your picks are in the top 10, though, right?
I don't care. You give up the farm for this kid. This kid is going to be, I think he's going to be like the next Bosa. I swear, he is going to be the next Bosa.
He is going to be legit.
And but if you're Robert Saleh, you want to bring in a guy and develop him the way you want, and you want to make that splash finally and prove you're the guy for the job, bro, find a way to get him.
They didn't do that with getting Zach Wilson.
Bro, Zach Wilson is, I'm not even, you know what? Even Quan has said it early in the season when he texted me. This guy looks good from time to time. If he can be more consistent, trust me, he's got an arm. I will give him that.
He has a cannon.
He can get balls into places.
He's a beautiful thrower of the ball.
I'll give him that. I'm not going to take away that from the kid. But he makes too many mistakes, bro. He makes way too many mistakes. But going away from that, though, there was another sideshow that happened in this. Yep. And I got to bite the bullet on this one because when the whole debacle happened with AB going back with the Raiders, I was on AB's side for a while. I think even Quan got on me about it for a while, and a bunch of other people did, because I was on him. Like, you know, I got his back. Yeah. I was always saying, oh, I'll support him, whatever. But, bro, I don't care what the situation is. You don't walk away from your team.
It could have been handled definitely in a better way.
Again, and for those of you that do not know, he's still a buck. I don't care what Bruce Arians said. Technically, he hasn't been cut.
Tom Brady said, hold on.
And not only reports also came out that they're thinking about fining him instead of cutting him.
Yep.
So just swallow that pill before you think about anything else. Now,
he is still a buck.
I'm no longer an AB fan. I don't support him like that anymore.
I'm not, but
one thing that I will say, I'm a realist. And if you know how Bruce Arians is, from what you've seen, from what you've watched, the way he coaches, the type of person that he is, it's his way or the highway.
Yeah, and now, the reports hold credibility.
The reports hold credibility that
they do.
This guy's coming back from an injury. I get it. He faked the whole COVID thing, which is just idiotic. He should have never done that. Yeah. He's already creating a sideshow there. But you got a guy like Tom Brady that's vouching for you, bro. That's giving you an opportunity.
Reason.
And the fact that he hasn't been cut, it's because of Tom Brady, if we're being honest. Obviously, we have no reports of that. We don't have any proof of that.
And he's his sole friend on that team.
For Tom Brady to say that everyone needs to help him or find a way or be there for him, bro, Tom Brady is the reason that AB has not been cut yet. I'm sorry. And I'm just going based off of what I see, not what I want. A lot of you say that AB is done. His career is over. He's never going to see an NFL field again. Not too soon.
Yeah.
They got injuries. They're going into the playoffs. If he's healthy, do not be surprised if he is still on that roster. That's all I am saying. I agree with it? Yeah. I do not. I think that the guy should be cut. I think there's definitely something wrong between the ears with this guy.
There is.
Something needs to be checked. This guy was riding around in an Uber, bro. I saw the TikTok.
Yeah.
The Uber driver put it on TikTok.
Yeah.
And he's just chilling in the back of the car. So to him, it's a joke, bro. I'm not saying the injury is, because it's out there. It's fact. But to him, I think football... doesn't matter to him. I think life is a joke to him now.
Yeah. I think that has something to do with it. I think he wants to get paid. But there are credible reports coming out. There's multiple doctors that are saying, at least from what they're saying is coming out from the emergency MRI they had on Monday, that it makes a lot of sense. It correlates to what he was complaining about, and that I don't like him. I think he's a head case, but I also disagree with coaches forcing a player to play through injury.
True.
You know if your body's right or not, and it should ultimately be the player's decision whether or not they can tough it out, if they can go through the pain, if it's worth it to them to go through the pain. A coach shouldn't really be saying to any player that you have to fight through this injury or you're off the team. So I can understand AB. Do I like it? Do I think that his shenanigans had any credence? Like, should they have been there? No, absolutely not. But I get why he was so mad. Because no coach should be putting players into that position. Gotcha. And I do think that Tom Brady is going to hold him there for as long as he can.
Quan, is there any way I can convince you to give us your thoughts on AB? Please.
I don't think we know the whole story. We don't know the conversations. He was off of the team for a few weeks because of the fake vaccine card. So we don't know the conversations between that and then this.
Yeah.
Was he telling people like, man, I'm going to fake an injury so I don't have to play? What, you know, we don't know the conversations in practice, all that stuff, because for this to be a blow up like this for Arians and AB,
yeah,
we don't know the conversations in between that time. So I'm not sure if AB was really hurt and the team doctors were clearing him though. We don't know what's up, but did he go to one of the training staff to say like, yo, my ankle's messed up, I can't go back out there? Or was he just not going back out there when Arians is trying to put him in?
Makes sense.
So obviously it seemed like there was already friction there for it to blow up like that. So with AB coming out with his statement, which is good that he said something, like you have to defend yourself. You know, it's good he did that. But now I think Arians needs to say more. But for Tom Brady to come out in a press conference right after the game and his words are he needs to get help, then you know there's something
else
mentally wrong with him. And Tom Brady's been there since the Patriot days. He stayed at Tom Brady's house for a week while he was a Patriot.
True.
Tom Brady obviously knows deeper that, there's issues here. Yeah. And, you know, mental health is a real thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're all responsible for how we deal with mental health. We're responsible for our own actions. So there's accountability. If Arians told him to leave the field, then
leave.
Then he's not in the wrong.
Yeah.
And there might not be something wrong with his head.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you're going to tell me to leave, I'm out. Like, you know, I'm out all the way. But I don't know. We don't know the whole conversations. We don't know what's going on in the locker room. And what they
talked
about.
There's a lot more that needs to develop for us to.
And I think Arians and the team are going to have to come out and really explain their side now with AB having a 2-page report on what happened. But,
and him not being cut yet.
Well, and not him being cut there. You got to understand contract situations. True. Can they get sued if they cut him for being injured? Do they want him to go up to another team to play in the playoffs? Because the NFL doesn't, it's not like the NBA and Major League where, you know,
you get cut,
you go to another team next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could be a Buffalo Bill, you know, playing next week, which we know he doesn't want to play for the Buffalo Bills because he got traded there for an hour for the Raiders. I mean, I think it's a crazy situation.
Do you think he plays again?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, he does. And this goes back to the fact, and everyone has to do this for themselves. What track record are you building for yourself?
True.
Because if this was a one-time incident for AB, nobody would have looked at it like that. They would have been saying, what did Bruce Arians do to piss this dude off? But instead, this dude has a track record of doing this. So even if he was in the right this time, when you cry wolf so many times, is going to bite you in the end. And I think that's what's happening right now. But if he wants to keep playing, he's still young. He'll play again. If it's for the Bucks, or if it's for another team, but they need him in the playoffs. So if they can get his head right, you know, he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
He's a needed player on that team, and Tom Brady definitely has kept him in the NFL and wants him there.
And not only that, the reason I say that he'd probably play again too is because think about it. This time, he didn't do anything to violate anything for the NFL.
Nope.
Right? It's just maybe team rules or whatever,
team
but
rules,
that's about it.
Team facility, contracts, stuff like that. But
other than that, he didn't do the whole COVID card thing is done with or whatever. It's in the past. Yeah, he didn't do anything
nothing really
against
you
rules.
Could find him for. He didn't he didn't flip the bird to the crowd. He didn't.
You
do
could,
anything
you could
like
find
that,
him for the way he left as a team.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
that's
as a team. So, but as the NFL, you
NFL,
really can,
we'll say that's a team thing, and I think that's why they didn't cut him, because they had to ask the NFL what they can do, and probably had to ask the Players Association as well.
Yeah.
All right, man. So we're coming to the end of the show. We got 5 minutes. Joel, I appreciate you, my man.
Hey, I appreciate you
for
having
me. That's why I wanted to have you to talk some soccer. You got to come back and chill out with us, bro. Yeah, even if you just chill on the mic and be like, wait, I know that.
Hey, no. I chime in, I saw the AB situation. It sucks, it is. But
it's funny, though.
Yeah.
I wish I could show the video.
He's so talented. It is funny.
All right, so look.
But it sucks that, he's so talented,
after
right?
After the show, I'm going to post the video on my Twitter. It's a TikTok video that I saw. It's an interview that AB did, but it's not an interview. It's just a joke, but go check it out. I'm going to post it after the show. But all right, we come to the end of the show.
But haven't we all wanted to leave a job like that?
Yeah, right. He did it.
If he thought that was his last day on the job, he left the way we all wanted to leave a job we hated.
Yeah, iconic.
Or a boss we hated.
See ya. I'm out.
That's the equivalent to dropping the mic.
Remember, what was it? What was that movie? Oh my God. Half Baked? Where he's like, you're cool, and I'm out. I can't say the bad words. That's what I'm saying. But that one was hilarious, bro. But anyways, man, what was your pick for this week? Because I don't remember last week's pick. We forgot to go back to the research and do all that. It's been crazy since New Year's. But I think I won last week, if I'm being honest with you. I don't remember your pick.
I don't remember your pick. But anyways, last week, I failed on both my picks.
Crazy week in football last week.
It was.
I know we didn't get into the whole playoff scenarios, which we wanted to get into that. We wanted to talk about that. We got a little long into the other stuff we were talking about. But long story short, if you guys are following the NFL and the playoffs, there's so many crazy things that can still happen. I believe the Raiders win and they're in. Here's another crazy thing. I believe if the Colts lose.
If they lose to the Jags, the Raiders will both know before they start. They won't, but they could come to a gentleman's agreement and tie.
Yep.
And both of them would
be. So basically, both teams could kneel on every possession for the whole game and call
and
it a tie.
Both be in.
And they would both make
because the Raiders, I believe, do have to win in that situation. Yeah. The Chargers don't. So it won't happen. The NFL won't allow it. They'd probably get fined as a team. But
no, man. NFL's going to be fun.
Coming out.
NFL's going to be fun. Big shout out to Rob. He beat me in the semifinals of our Big Money Fantasy League. I ended up switching. I took the Dolphins defense instead of the Cardinals defense. I should have done that. I lost by 5 points. If I start the Cardinals defense, I win. Not only that, I was thinking of not starting Debo, as crazy as it sounds, because Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Lions has been hot, and he's become Jared Goff's number one receiver. I benched him as well. He scores 34 points. Thank you very much. Thanks for trying. See you next year. But big shout out to Rob. He pulled through. He's in the championship. The dude, he busted a Seattle Seahawks back in the playoffs at 7-8, and now he's in the damn championship. But let's see if he can win that. But what do you got this week? Let me know.
So the one that I actually like, there's a lot of lines that are kind of wonky because we don't know who's starting. COVID's going rampant. It's a little weird. But I do like Tennessee Titans versus the Texans. They are in Houston. But it's minus 10, at least from what I have here. Tennessee. I don't know what you have. Do you have 9.5? Or
I got Tennessee. I have 10. Yep.
10? Okay. So minus 10. It is a must win for the Titans. If they don't win this, they don't get that number one seed. And that number one seed is very important. And why is it important for Titans? Because Derrick Henry was activated this week. They don't want to play him against Texans. They don't want to play the next week. They don't want to have to play him the next week. This would give him 2 additional weeks to practice. It would be a major boost
for them if they can secure this number one seed. And all they have to do to secure it is win. That's all they have to do.
So you got the Titans.
I have the Titans.
So Titans win. They're the number one seed, which is insane to think about. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the home team. There's a possibility I might be at this game. I'm not going to say the name, but I'm rooting for you, my man. I hope you come through. But anyways, I'm going with the Raiders. I'm taking the Raiders plus the three against the Chargers, and here's why. Derek Carr is the guy. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anyone says. If it's not for Derek Carr, the Raiders are not even in any type of playoff contention, or the Raiders aren't even here. And what I mean by that, think about this. Everything that happened during the regular season, on and off the field, the way he's taken those press conferences, the way he's been a leader in front of that mic, in front of those cameras, I'm sorry, I like Marcus Mariota as a player, but Marcus Mariota wouldn't have been able to handle that. He wouldn't have been able to control everything that was going on here in Vegas.
He was barely able to control his
injury. And for you smart asses, I like to say, well, the Raiders wouldn't be in this situation presses. If it wasn't for Derek Carr either and probably be winning. No, they would not be 9-7 with everything that happened this year if it was not for Derek
Carr.
He's
been playing actually very well this year.
Not only that, let's start putting some respect in this guy's name, okay? Yep. He has the most comeback wins in the NFL since he started his career. Yep. No other quarterback in the NFL has that. Remember that as well. And I've said it before, his team has given up more points per game than any other team defensively in the NFL in his career span than any other quarterback in that time frame. So think about that as well. So I'm taking the Raiders. I like the Raiders in this game. I think Hunter Renfrow has another big game. He's been stepping up. He's been hot. But Josh Jacobs needs to run the hell out of that ball. Stuff him with that ball. Run it down that throat from the Chargers defense. Not only that, that'll help open up the play action, get some throws. I like the Raiders in this game. I think they win outright, but I'm taking the plus three.
Has Staley yet said if he's starting, like if he's playing his starters or he's resting them? Because I think, correct me if they're wrong, they clinched.
The Chargers haven't clinched anything. They haven't clinched. That's what I'm saying. They both need to win. Okay. That's what I'm saying. They both, either one wins or they're in, or they tie and they're in if the other side loses. But
okay.
5 seconds, real quick, because we're not going to be able to talk about it until it's after and it's done. National championship game is this weekend coming up. Alabama's a dog again. They're plus three. I like Bama on the money line. What do you got?
I like Bama as well. I think Georgia does make this a lot more competitive than they did the first time. I think that they go hard, but I think Bryce Young succeeds right here.
Alabama or Georgia, quick.
Bama.
There we go. We got Bama, Bama, Bama. Let's go. Right. Quan, who you got? Bama, Georgia. Georgia for Quan. Hey, we're at the end of the show. We're past our time, man. But we really appreciate each and every one of you, everyone a part of it. Lindy LaRock, UNLV Lady Rebels head coach, for joining us. Everyone involved with the show, Quan59, EMB, Joel Madrazos, everyone else, Joshua LaFon, Eric Navarro, we greatly appreciate you guys. We will see you next week. We got another good guest for you guys. We got Che Malik in studio with Joel Regal from Franchise Sports Media. Tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We are out.
Peace.